Welcome. We are in a series, Great Prayers of the Bible. Do you need to know about some prayer time? You look at the world around you and some of the things that go on, you'd say, well, if somebody needs to be praying, I guess God picked us to do it, right? Praying. Great Prayers of the Bible. This one that we're going to talk about today is truly, I think, a great prayer. Maybe not in the way you'll see some things in this that you probably go in a different direction of what we thought. But the disciples, or the apostles, it says, this is Luke chapter 17. The apostles said, increase our faith. Do we need some faith increase? Do we need our faith increased? They were concerned about some things Jesus said, and they didn't think they could live up to it, so they said, increase our faith. Please increase our faith. So our faith needs to be built up, and prayer is a way to do that, one of the ways to do that. That's a great prayer, I think, increase our faith. Some would disagree. They would say, no, faith comes this way, that way, whatever way. But I think prayer comes more than one way, doesn't it? Faith is built in here. What is faith? We'll see that later as we get into a little bit about Abraham, but what is faith? Faith is being convinced about something that's going to happen before it happens. Faith is being convinced about the eternal supernatural world. Now, I'm not talking about the stars and planets. I'm talking about beyond that. There is a beyond that where the Creator said, light be, created those things. When you think about all that, this idea of Lord increase our faith is key to understanding faith. Faith is being sure of what you hope for, certain of what you don't see. Faith, if you don't have faith, you give up. If you don't have faith, you're struggling to try to make anything happen. Faith is the key. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Does the Bible say that? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you can't even be saved. You have to have faith to be saved, don't you? That's the beginning point. Faith is the victory, so if you don't have a faith, you can't have a victory. There's a lot of reasons faith is important to us. It's a key. It's a major key. So they said, pardon me, they said increase our faith. Look at the next slide, in Luke 17, verse 4. Here's the story, why they said that. He said, Jesus said, verse 3, Luke 17, verse 3, he said to the disciples, the apostles, or the all the disciples are there, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, wow, what a pest. Seven times in one day. This is Jesus talking. I didn't make this up, did I? If he sins against you seven times against you, not just doing something bad, he did something against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent. Jesus said, forgive him. Forgive him. The apostles said, what did the apostles say? Yeah, we'll work on that. What do they say? Increase our faith. We don't know if we can do this or not. Lord, increase our faith. Is it hard to forgive somebody that doesn't deserve it? Is it hard to forgive somebody that does it to you again and again and again and again, and you can't forgive them? Is forgiveness hard? Forgiveness is difficult because we think of it as an emotion, but it's not an emotion, it's a decision. You decide to do it. I don't like this, but I'm going to do it. We don't like going to the doctor sometimes. We don't like getting shots, but sometimes we do it. Forgive. Why is forgiveness so important? Jesus said, when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, what did he say? Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then he said, give us this day our daily bread. And you remember the next one? Forgive us. How? As we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus is serious about forgiveness. He said, if you want to be in good standing with me, you better forgive people that hurt you. But I can't do that. Yes, you can. Would Jesus tell you to do something you can't do? If Jesus said, you can't go to heaven unless you get a running start and jump all the way over this building. Let me see you do that and then you can go to heaven. He wouldn't make you do something you can't do. You can forgive. You can make the choice and say, okay, I forgive. I forgive. I heard a really good counseling technique one time. The guy said, people come to him about all these problems, especially broken family problems, and he said, I want you to sit down and write down everything bad your mother did to you or your father, whoever it was, your uncle, write down everything bad they did to you, and at the end of it you say, so, dear uncle, I forgive you of all of this. But don't mail it. What do you do with it? You wad it up, you throw it in the trash, and you say, done. I forgave him. And every time it comes back to you, that horrible thing they did to you, every time it comes back, you say, wait a minute, I don't have to carry that anymore. Unforgiveness will not make you happy. It's like taking poison, hoping the other person will die. You're trying to kill somebody and you take the poison. That doesn't work, does it? So stop taking the poison. It's not a sermon on forgiveness, but I guess you got one, didn't you? Jesus said, it doesn't matter. In fact, one of the readings, I believe it's the other account of one of the other gospel accounts, he said, if they come back, how often do we have to forgive somebody? Seven times. Peter said one time, seven times? He said, no, 70 times seven. Well, that was beyond their imagination, right? And here he said, seven times in a day, forgive them. And the disciples, the apostles said, well, you're going to have to help us with this one. Forgive us. Help us with this forgiveness thing. Help us, they said. Increase our faith. We don't know if we can do this. Now, look at what he said. He didn't say what you would expect him to say. He didn't say, okay, let me work on your faith with you. No, what does he say? Verse 6, he replied, if you have faith as a mustard seed, how big is that? About like a grain of sand. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Is faith powerful? It's powerful. Its fact is so powerful that a tiny, tiny, tiny amount will move mountains. It'll move the physical universe. But he didn't just say, get you some faith. Notice what he says. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. What do you say to the servant when he comes in from the field? Come along now, sit down and eat. The servant comes in out of the field. You say, come and sit, have supper. Bring the servant in to have supper. Would he not rather say, here's what they usually say, prepare my supper. Right? You're the boss. He's the servant. He comes in. He's tired. But you don't say, sit down and eat first. No, you say, fix me some supper. I'm the boss. You make me some supper and feed me and get my supper ready, and then you can go have supper. Verse 9, would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? If you own a slave, that was what he's talking about back then. They own slaves, and he brings the slave in, and he say, I want you to fix my supper. Yes, sir, and fix the supper. You know, thank you. Well, you might say thank you, but what he's saying is appreciation is not necessary when you're giving orders. So you're giving these orders, and the servant comes in, and he takes care of everything. And so verse 10, so you also, listen, he's talking to disciples. Are you a disciple? I hope so. If you're not, you can be one. What does he say to disciples? So also, you also, what did they ask? Increase our faith. What did he say? Told a story about serving. And then he said, so you also, when you have done everything you were told to do. This is master to disciple. This is Lord to servant. This is Jesus to the disciples. You should say what? We are unworthy or unprofitable servants. We're unprofitable servants. We've only done our duty. We only did what we were told to do. Are we supposed to do what Jesus told us to do? We can't say to Jesus, Lord, you're lucky to have me because I got lots of skills and abilities, and you do everything he told you to do. You can't brag. You can't brag and say, aren't I a wonderful disciple? No. You do what you were told to do. You don't need an increase in faith. What do you need? You need to use the faith you have. You use the faith you have. When it's tough to forgive somebody, you might just have a mustard seed faith. That's enough. He said, I think basically what he's saying, you don't need a big boost in your faith. You just need to do what you've been told to do. Sometimes it ain't that complicated, right? Just do. Was it Nike? Just do it. Guess what'll happen? You just do it. You start doing it, and the faith will come. And you'll notice an increase in your faith. There are occasions where Jesus says, there are certain kinds of faith. There's little faith. Next slide has Matthew 6. Go to Matthew 6. I hope you have a Bible handy. Look at these. If you put your eyes on it, you'll get a lot more out of it. I know some people don't do that, but it's up to you. Matthew 6 and verse 30. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone, or thrown into the fire tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Do some people have little faith? Well, he said there's some faith like a mustard seed, so it doesn't take much faith to have a little faith. You got just a tiny amount of faith. He said, wait a minute, you've got little faith. What's little faith? Verse 25, Matthew 6, 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, what your body, what you will wear is not life more important than food. And he goes on to explain. He said, the Father takes care of all nature. Can't he take care of you too? So what's he saying? If you worry all the time, you don't have much faith. Faith and worry aren't compatible. Faith and worry don't live in the same room. Faith and worry can't coexist. And that's why so many in the church are so dead spiritually, because they can't get their mind off their problems, and they can't get their mind off their sicknesses, and they can't get their mind off what might happen tomorrow. And your faith is weak or non-existent. It's amazing. It's amazing how little faith many Christians have. We think faith. I grew up thinking faith was just, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Yeah, I believe that. So-and-so is a very faithful member of the church. Why is he faithful? Because he comes to church all the time. That's not even scratching the surface of faith. Faith is being confident in God that His promises are true and He has told you correctly your future in Christ. And that all these promises God made, the Bible says all these promises in Christ are yes and amen. Faith says, I believe in my God and I trust Him for everything. And I don't care if they're about to shoot me to death, I'm going to believe my God. And if they run me out of town because I spoke about Jesus, I'm going to still do it. Faith is a powerful, faith is your shield for the armor of God, isn't it? So Jesus said here, you don't have much faith, do you, if you sit around and worry all the time about everything? I know it's tempting. I do it too sometimes. We fall into that because it's a habit. Did you have a family of worriers that you grew up in? A lot of people did. If you don't have enough worry, just watch TV a while. Get online. All the commercials are telling you you might have a problem. You need to have this checked out. You need to do this. You need to do that. Worry. What is worry? Prayer to Satan. What is worry? Looking at the future and saying, oh, that's got to be terrible. I don't know how we're going to get through, how we're going to get by. Oh, it's a dark future out there. That's not faith. That's the opposite of faith. You got more faith in the destructive powers of the devil than you have of God's power. And Jesus does not like that. It does not make him happy. He said, that's little faith. There's another incident. Next slide on there has another scripture. Matthew 8, verse 26. This one is when he told him to get into the boat. Was it Matthew 8? And verse 23, Matthew 8, 23, is a few pages over. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him, Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. Now, this is a 30-foot fishing boat. It's not a rowboat. Commercial fishing boat. And the waves are about to swamp this huge, pretty huge in there, probably the biggest boat they had in their day, except freighters that went out by the big powers. But this is a fishing boat about 30 feet long. And the waves are coming over the thing, about to swamp the ship. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." Look at that first line in verse 23. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Who's in the boat? Who's in the boat? Jesus. Is the Father going to let Jesus drown out there before he does his mission? Of course not. See, they don't have much faith. They don't believe. They don't really believe that he is who he says he is. I mean, I'd be a little confident if the Messiah's in my boat, and I've seen him raise the dead and feed the thousands and all of that, heals thousands, multitudes of people. So he says, they said, "Save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Ask yourself that question today. Why am I so afraid all the time? Why am I so afraid? I mean, even the biggest, strongest, strapping guy you know sometimes gets scared, don't they? And we go into all these things about you got to conquer your fear and you have to swallow your fear and move on. Why are you scared in the first place? Why are you afraid in the first place? I'm in the boat. Why was he asleep? Why was he asleep? Like we say around here, he ain't worried. He ain't scared. Why? He trusts his Father and he says, "I'm not going to drown out here. I'm not going to go under." If he, the Son of God, has that attitude, he said, "I want you to have that attitude also because I'm in your boat with you. And I'll take care of this." Little faith. Little faith. Well, he got up and rebuked the wind. And what happened? Perfectly calm. So, the next slide, I put this up here. So how do we grow from little faith to strong faith? Can you do that? See, you're not helpless in this thing. People say, "Well, I just don't have enough faith. I wish I did, but I just don't have enough faith. I'm just from a family. We didn't believe in God much, and I just don't have much faith. And I guess that's my lot in life. I just don't have much faith." No, you can work on it. I'll show you in Abraham's life how faith can grow. How faith can grow. I put "Ask Abraham, our father, our faith father." The next slide has, notice his progress. There are three phrases here. We'll be in Romans chapter 4 for a minute. These little three phrases came out in Romans chapter 4. Talking about Abraham. Without weakening in his faith. Is your faith going to be challenged? If you're trying not to worry, guess what's going to happen? Something big will happen tomorrow and you'll, "Oh no." But Abraham learned how not to go weak in his faith. Don't get weak in your knees like some people do. Don't weaken your faith. Let your faith get weak. Without weakening in his faith. The next phrase is, but was strengthened in his faith. So can you be strengthened in your faith? Yeah, but that was Abraham. He's held up as an example in several places, but Romans chapter 4 is the father of our faith. He's the father of our faith. He's not Messiah. He wasn't born again. He didn't have Christ. He saw, through revelation, he saw what was ahead. God showed him, "All the nations of the earth will be blessed through you." Abraham could have said, and he did say it, Psalm, "I don't have any children." And God, in effect, said, "I'm taking care of that." But when he first called Abraham, Abraham was 75 years old. 75. And his wife had been barren. She never had children. And she's close to his age. So it wasn't just him. It was her. In fact, he wanted to do it by another woman. God said, nope, it's going to come through you and Sarah, and you'll call his name Isaac. Notice how Abraham's faith grew. How his faith grew. One thing God did with him, before we get into the next slide, but one thing God did for Abraham, you remember he was called Abram? Abram just means father, or maybe even exalted father. But God added a little syllable in there that some say is actually the name of God stuck in there. But Abraham gave him another name. What does Abraham mean? Father of nations. Not just father, father of nations. God came to Abram when he was 99 years old and said, I'm going to change your name and I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to change your name. What to? Abraham. So from then on, Abram walked around calling himself Abraham by faith. See, faith calls things that are not, Romans 4. Faith calls things, God calls things that are not as though they were, and faith says, I don't see it yet, but I'm... So Abram went around saying to his staff and to his wife and to the people around him, you got to call me Abraham. You got a 99-year-old man says, you got to call me father of nations now. I wonder if his workers thought he'd lost his mind. See, if you have real faith in God, people think you lost your mind. You're brainwashed. You know, most people out there in the world need their brain washed, don't they? So yes, call me father of nations. So I guess they had to comply. And now, every time he says his own name, it takes faith. And he's getting more excited about it. And he's getting it's building in him. I'm going to be father of nations. He told me I'm going to be father of nations. In fact, when God told him that, he said, next year we're going to come back and you'll have the child. And that turned out to be true, didn't it? Abraham's faith grew. Look at Romans 4. There's some beautiful passages in Romans 4 where it tells us a lot about the faith life of Abraham, and it's helpful. It's very helpful. The world is not going to give you faith. They're not going to help you. That's what's sad about so many Christians never read the Bible, never read it much, never get too involved in church, come once in a while, and wonder why their faith is weak. Your faith has to be built and fed. Romans 4, verse 16. Therefore, the promise comes by faith. All the promises God has made to you, they have to come by faith. You have to trust in things you cannot see yet. You have to trust in things that are invisible to the human eye and the ear. So you got to trust. He says here in Romans 4, verse 16, therefore the promise comes by faith, so it may be by grace. We talk a lot about grace, don't we? Well, I'm under the grace of God. Why are you under the grace of God? Because of the promise of God. How does the promise come? By faith. That it may be by grace, may be guaranteed to all Abraham's life. There are no guarantees in life. Oh, yes, there are. With God, there are guarantees. All the promises of God are yes and in Christ, yes and amen. When you follow God, you have a guarantee. But you feel vulnerable sometimes, and you feel like you don't have enough faith, and you feel like, I don't know, I want to believe that. I want to believe this, but it just doesn't seem like I can get around it. I can't get my head into it, and I can't. That's why the disciples said, increase our faith. Isn't it amazing? They said, increase our faith. What is the first thing Jesus said? Do what you're told. What did he tell them to do? Forgive. If it takes seven times a day, do it. Lord, increase our faith. Okay, do what you're told. I think our growth in faith starts with a salute. Yes, sir. You told me to do this, I'll do it. I'll do it right now. I'll do it as soon as I can. As soon as it comes to hand, I'll do it. As soon as you enable me, when do you want me to do it? I'm signed on. I'm going to do it. Wonder why we don't have faith more often. Romans 4. Verse 16 says, therefore the promise comes by faith, that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Did you know you're Abraham's offspring too? Did you know that? People say, well, that's Old Testament. Oh, it transitions. Look at this. So that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He's the father of us all. He's the father of the Jewish people, and he's also the father of all believers on Christ. Because Christ was a Jew, wasn't he? All the apostles were Jews. Most of the New Testament written by Jews. So he said, you're in this thing too. We've been brought in. There's a passage in Ephesians that says God's working a miracle here by putting two become one. What? The people like Abraham, who are people of faith in the old system, they join us in Christ. That's kind of strange, isn't it? Not only those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham. He's the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father. Abraham is. He is our father in the sight of God. Who thinks Abraham's our father? You may not think so, but God does. If you walk by faith. So we're looking at Abraham saying, I want to be like my father Abraham, because he's a man of faith. He is our father in the sight of God. This is in verse 17, about halfway through. In whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. That's faith. Yes, God can resurrect things in me that I thought were dead. He can resurrect bodies. He's talking in a sense about Abraham's dead body, which you'll get to in a minute, that Abraham didn't have at that point in life, because he's 99, he didn't have any reproductive power left, and neither did Sarah, because she'd never had any. She'd always been barren. It took a miracle. It took a miracle to do this. But Abraham kept believing. Notice this. He is our father in the sight of God, verse 17. The God who gives life to the dead. What else? When God, I showed you the slide a while ago with the universe, I mean with the galaxy on it. God does what? Calls things that don't exist. And when he says it, it's as if they already do exist. See, God lives in He lives in the future. He lives in your future. He's already there. Because he's not inside time and space. He's not inside time and space. You can see that whole screen at once. That's how God looks at time and space. He created it. He made it. How did he make it? Commanded it to be. Light be. And light said, yes, sir. Here we are. God does what? Calls things that don't exist, things that are not, as though they were. So when you call yourself well, and you call yourself strong in the Lord, or something like that, you're saying things. Even if you're sick, you're saying, but I've been healed. You go back to Isaiah 53, several passages. Isaiah 53, connect it with Matthew chapter 8, about verse 14, I think it is. Where it connects the two. It connects the idea that God sent Christ to die for our sins and our sicknesses. You remember Psalm 103? Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all our sins, and he heals all our diseases. The struggle is things as they are. We walk most of our time in things as they are. That's what complaining is. Complaining is, it's not good. And I don't like this. And we're in the mode of, this is the way it is. I just tell it like it is. This is just it. It's just going to be this way. Does God talk that way? Did God have faith when he created the world? Light be. Do you see God saying, light be, and then saying, oh, I sure hope that works. I'm going to be so embarrassed if that doesn't work. God has faith. There are a couple of passages that talk about the faith of God, not faith in God, but the faith of God. That's a whole other issue. Verse 19. I'm sorry, verse 18. Romans 4:18, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said, it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. God took him out at night, showed him the stars, and he said, can you count those? No, he couldn't count those. That's how many offspring you're going to have. Like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And Abraham did not say, how's that going to be? I can't even have children. What does the Bible say about Abraham? Abraham believed God. And God, in Abraham's sin account, God canceled it out. It says Abraham believed God, and that was, and his belief was credited to him as righteousness. Credited to him as righteousness. Oh, faith's powerful. Faith gets you saved. Faith in Christ gets you saved, doesn't it? Romans 10. I don't have it on the screen, but Romans 10 talks about that, doesn't it? With your mouth you confess. With your heart you believe. With your mouth you confess that Jesus is Lord, and you shall be saved. Faith in Him. Faith. Verse 19. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Was his body as good as dead? Yeah. His body was as good as dead as far as having children. I got a couple of places here. I looked it up in several translations. That was verse 19. The King James says, or the New King James says, not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, nor yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. It says he did not dwell on that. Somehow he had to get his mind off the fact, I'm 99 years old. Men my age don't have babies. And Sarah, she's never had a child, never able to have a child. He had to get his mind off that onto what God had promised. You have to get your mind off yourself, off the situation, off the circumstances, and say, but God has a bigger plan for me. God has something else for me. Here's some other. Amplified says this. Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body. He could look at these things and say, I've still got faith because I'm not counting on that. I'm not counting on the natural production. I'm counting on the one who made me a promise that I would be the father of many nations. He did not weaken in faith. This is Amplified. When he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. Here's another one. This is Complete English Bible. Without losing faith, Abraham, who was nearly 100 years old, took into account his own body, which was as good as dead, Sarah's womb, which was dead. Without losing faith, without weakening in his faith, he could look at the circumstances. So if you dwell on the circumstances, they will become the biggest thing in your life. If you dwell on God and His what He has promised you, He and His promises will become the biggest thing in your life. I cut to the chase here. There's one. The NIV, you can read the NIV anyway, but this is, there's a King James. I think I read that one already, didn't I? The Living Bible. Because his faith was strong, he didn't worry about the fact. He didn't what? He didn't worry about the fact that he was too old to be a father at the age of 100. That Sarah, his wife, at 90, was also much too old to have a baby. Notice what that says. Without weakening in his faith. Without weakening in his faith. Can you look at circumstances and not be weakened in your faith? Without weakening in his faith, he could look at what was around him and say, but that doesn't determine everything. That does not that does not have the final say. 100 years old. And Sarah was what, in her late 90s? And they had a child. Because God had promised. Not because their bodies could do that. The bodies were both basically dead. But because God's power came. And the baby was born, Isaac. Isaac became Israel and the 12 tribes of Israel. Next slide. We'll cut to the chase on this one. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, and kindness, goodness, faithfulness. That's the NIV. Faithfulness, Galatians 5, 22. What's the fruit of the Spirit? What the Holy Spirit does in your life. And one thing He does is faithfulness. Then there's the next, if you look at the next slide, King James. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. One said faithfulness, the other said faith. Well, which is it? The answer is yes. It's both. Can you have faith? Faithfulness. What's faithfulness? We think of it as loyalty, but it's bigger than that. Faithfulness is operating your whole life by faith. It's a quality, like these other qualities, like love and joy and peace. Faithfulness. Well, how can you be faithful without faith? Faithful, if you're full of faith, you can't be full of faith without having faith. So both are right. Both are right in a sense. A fruit of the Spirit, one fruit of the Spirit, one fruit of the Spirit is faith. What does that mean? That God will help you. I give you a couple of things, then we'll close it out. Two things I learned from studying all this. Two ways, you want to write them down, two points of how a weak faith or non-existent faith almost can become real faith. And one is, do what you're told. Didn't Jesus teach that? They said, increase our faith. He said, I want you to do what I just told you to do. Forgive people. Don't worry about that. All you got to have is a little bit of faith. You got enough. Just use it. Just use it and by faith forgive. He didn't say all those words, but it's the idea, right? So building your faith is number one. Do what you're told. Number two, change your focus. Didn't Abraham have to shift his focus from Abram, father, to Abraham, father of a multitude? And he shifted his focus and he looked at his own body as good as dead. He looked at Sarah. Her womb had never worked anyway. But he did not let that weaken his faith. He said, no, I'm staying with God's promise. I'm going to keep God's promise in my mind. I'm going to change my focus. And it took him 25 years to do it. So don't feel bad. God started telling him this when he was 75 and he was 100 before the baby was born. And as you read his life, if you read Abraham's life, it was a series of meetings with God, and every time his faith got a little stronger, and then God could lay bigger things on him. Increase our faith, Lord. Is that a good prayer? Amen. He's told us how to do that. Next slide, or the last slide, is our slide about the notebook we're praying over. We want to have faith. Do you have faith that this is making a difference? I do. I've seen it. We've got answers. Since we started doing this, we have had answers to this prayer. And we have a notebook here. There we got names of folks in here that don't know the Lord. You turn these names in to us. That don't know the Lord. And then some in here fell away. So we're going to pray over them. We need to be aware that we're praying, not get up and run out in the middle of a prayer, okay? If you honor God, He'll honor you. If you honor His Word, if you honor His time, He'll honor you. Father, we ask You. So the names in this book, these names, obviously, Father, all represent people and their problems and their issues and their lives. And so we ask for each of these that You, we know that You, Father, and we admire and appreciate that. You have already done all the work. You've already done all the work needed to get these folks saved. You've already done all the work needed to bring them eternal life. Jesus has already died for them. Everything has already been done. And we ask you, now that you would open their hearts, you have ways, we know that. If people pray, you said we need to pray, and we need to pray for workers to come into the kingdom, and we need to pray for the word to go out, and we need to pray for us to obey your word, that we want to do what you tell us to do. But we know, Father, you can influence people and impact them, but you're not going to force them. So we're asking on their behalf that you would open their hearts to the gospel and bring them to Christ. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer and answering it. In that name that is above every name, we pray. Amen.